it's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. For the first time, officially in the off season, Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. as the Kings find themselves in the midst of a very, very important offseason because they lost 105-98 for the sixth straight time to the New Orleans Pelicans, did not even break 100. Talking to Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross, who were in New Orleans. New Orleans fans, as loud as they were, they didn't even feel good about it. Everybody thought that the Kings were going to come in and take care of business, and unfortunately, that was not the case. Chris Watkins, how you doing?
Good, good. Needed the weekend to kind of, you know, recenter and, you know, not let the emotions get too high, get too low. And, yeah, it felt like a really long weekend with the game being on Friday. But at the same time, it was very, very necessary. And then watching the weekend of basketball, especially the game last night where the Kings would have been in that game, I just... For a second, I was like, I could not imagine if the Kings were still in the throes of this thing and we were just getting started
right
with a new series last night. Obviously, would have been a very welcome thing, but at the same time, just felt a little bit crazy of just how many games would have been shoved in here this week. And credit New Orleans, who did make it a game yesterday. I don't know, with all the things that have gone on with the Kings, and, you know, we're going to talk about it, but Keegan Murray pulling his groin, probably wouldn't have even been available for game one.
Yeah.
Would have definitely been an interesting game had the Kings played last night. So, you know, there's parts of me that are glad that it's over, parts of me that are, of course, upset that we can't continue this journey. But ultimately, it feels like the right thing happened. And this team, you know, as much as I think we all hope that they would make the postseason this year, I think watching all of the competition this weekend, I don't know if the Kings really were one of the best eight teams in the Western Conference this year.
Specifically without
right,
Malik
with Monk. How they were, yes, situated.
Yes,
right now.
With how they were situated, and to be honest, when you see how all the teams played, and there were some blowouts, right? But
oh, yeah,
I don't think a home team, every home team
every
won,
home
if
team
I'm not
won,
mistaken.
Yeah.
So I don't know that the Kings would have put up a much better fight than the Pelicans. And look, both sides were doing it. I saw Warriors fans saying, Warriors fans, if you would have just beat the Kings and then beat the Pelicans, you would have had a chance against the Thunder. I saw Kings fans saying, man, watching this Pelicans Thunder game, you would have had
insane.
A shot. I saw Laker fans from the top rope saying, man, if we had done that manipulation, we would have beat this team in five games because now they have to deal with the Nuggets. Can all of you stop?
Yeah.
Can all of you just stop? Yeah. All right. The way I see it is this, Chris. If the Kings were good enough to win in New Orleans, they probably never would have been in New Orleans, if that makes sense. If the Kings were good enough to win in New Orleans, right? And we convinced ourselves that they could be good enough. They could be hitting this stride. But if the Kings were good enough to win that game in New Orleans, they probably never would have been in that situation to begin with. This season ended the way we saw this season unfold for the last 10 games, where it was fairly competitive, but you just ultimately didn't have enough. And you didn't even have a lead to blow. Well, I'm not going to count that first quarter. They were up 7-8 points, even though it felt like the game was over when they blew that. But essentially, to me, you ended up in this situation. I would have been incredibly surprised if they were able to overcome it, but they weren't. And going into it, after they beat the Warriors, look, you know what I honestly thought was going to happen? And I'm just being completely honest with you. I thought the Kings were going to get the 8th seed, okay? I thought they were going to lose in Club Phoenix. I thought the Pelicans were going to be the 6th seed. I thought they were going to lose in Club Phoenix. And then I thought they would probably lose to the Warriors. That's what I thought was going to happen. It didn't happen that way. But I did not really think that the Kings were going to make it out of the play-in. When they beat the Warriors, and I don't think I was alone in that. when they beat the Warriors and the way they beat the Warriors, whoa, okay. And then the season ended the same way the season went, really, throughout the duration of the season.
Yeah, I feel like they, I mean, after they beat the Warriors, they definitely, the confidence was definitely a lot higher. Mm-hmm. I think the problem was always going to remain, did they have enough? I think, you know, ultimately they got career games out of Keegan, and I was, you know, I wouldn't say career games, but definitely one of the best performances of both of their careers so far out of Keegan and Keon, and it was always going to be tough for them to replicate that. I mean, you know, they all year, I think the point that you're trying to make is the inconsistency has been there all year long, and there's been a lot of times where we have specifically said the Kings just played their best game of the season here, and then literally 24 hours later they would have the worst game of the season, or right, a performance that's completely different than what they had just had. And I think that was that definitely showed itself in these two playing games, is the fact that this team is good enough to beat anybody on their best day, but at the same time they're bad enough to look terrible and not score 100 points and not have really anybody except for De'Aaron Fox, and I guess you could say Sabonis a little bit contributing on the offensive end. I never really had any gauge of how this thing was going to go. I thought once the Kings were put in a two-game elimination or had to win two games to avoid elimination, I always kind of thought that was going to be a tough task. After they beat the Warriors, I definitely had more confidence, but I still always thought it was a bit of a long shot. And, you know, I think, the 0-5 made me feel good that they were due, but realistically, looking at that matchup, it didn't matter that Zion was going to be out. We all knew it didn't matter. The Kings had lost the 30 to that team beforehand, and I think ultimately it showed, even though they didn't have Zion, the Pelicans were a better team. Like, they have way more talent than the Kings do, especially with Malik and all those guys out. But when you can replace Zion with Trey Murphy, who averages 16 a game when he is starting, and you got Valanche, you just have so many other options to go to. It was clear that the Kings literally had De'Aaron and maybe Domas at this point, and especially after Keegan got hurt, and they just had infinite, I mean, it felt like they had infinite weapons to go to. It felt like Larry Nance could do no wrong. Najee Marshall comes in and has the game of his life. You know, of course, CJ does. If I would have told you at the beginning of that game, CJ McCollum had 7 points, you know, played 36 minutes, do you think the Kings won? I think everybody would have said yes, but that's how much talent the Pelicans have, and I think ultimately that's the thing that we need to address moving forward with this team is, did they maybe hit the accelerator too quick? Because you look at all of these teams, and a lot of teams just have more than just their two guys. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got some sort of failsafe, and it felt like once Malik left, this team had nowhere else to go.
No. Off the top of your head, Chris, because the one that we have, and we have a piece coming out that all the hosts are a part of about favorite memories throughout the season, but the one that stuck out to me was, because I'm thinking about the Pelicans last night and how the Thunder just tried to put them away and the Pelicans would not right. go away. And the Pelicans, they had been like that really against every team besides the Lakers. And I'm trying to think, besides that game, because my answer to that question, spoiler alert, go out and read the piece when it comes out tomorrow. My answer to that question was when the Kings came back against, it was down 20 or something like that, in-season tournament to get in against who? The team they're most comfortable against, besides the Lakers, the Warriors. Mm. And that was my favorite. That was my favorite. One of my favorite memories from the season. It was just electric in there. But besides that, how many games off the top of your head do you recall the Kings coming back from being down? Off the top of my head, it feels they either led essentially wire to wire, sure, or it was a close game and then they ended up winning.
Sure.
Those were the two ways that they won. There were not this team, and maybe this was Draymond talking about, you know, the pattern team / game manager thing. This team was not ever built to come back from behind. And that's not a team that's going to excel in winner-take-all situations. And you got down against the Pelicans, and I don't think anybody, even the person wearing the most purplest of glasses, felt comfortable because you hadn't really seen that throughout the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely hurts when you don't have Malik. I mean, I think their bench points is definitely something that you look at, especially
in this
matchup.
Because that's how you come back when you are down and those stars sit.
Exactly. Normally, they would have that level of punch that you're talking about, but when you don't have Malik and you don't have Kevin, now your third shooting guard has now been elevated to your starting shooting guard, and that means your fourth shooting guard is now your backup shooting. Like, it just moves everybody up, and again, you see it in the results of those bench points. That's really where New Orleans won this game. I mean, you could argue free throws, which is a story that we've been talking about all season long. The Kings miss 7 free throws, they lose by 7 points. Sometimes it's not really that easy, but you could definitely make the argument that the Kings make their free throws in this game maybe is a little bit different. But absolutely, you look at the bench points, the Kings got nothing with the exception of Davion Mitchell. They were outscored 12-34 in bench points, and that's where you really see them missing Malik Monk. Even if, you know, Malik maybe had to get elevated into the starter, the fact that they just didn't have any reserves that could provide that pop, that okay, De'Aaron could keep us afloat, but we need something to set us over the top. That just didn't exist in this game, and I think that's really where you feel the effects of Malik not being there.
Yeah, and you have a team in New Orleans who did a good job of, and, you know, Warrior fans were joking, just getting Keegan Murray off his spot. For some odd reason, the Warriors just felt like leaving Keegan Murray open. I still think Keegan got some open looks early against the Pelicans. He just didn't knock them down.
Yeah, he missed a
ton. And there was not going to be time to get lathered and to get into a rhythm. The Pelicans just weren't going to let you do that. And that's why, Chris, as crazy as it sounds, once they started out cold, really the first half of that first quarter, and once the first quarter being over, it just felt like if they don't heat up quickly here, there's no other way for them to win. With that being said, and as we get into it quickly here, the Kings did lose in a different way with Larry Nance Jr. looking like prime Shaq. We'll discuss that when we return. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Stiles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Kyle Ledbetter behind the glass for us today, giving Kyle a shout out. Always good to hear from Kyle and have Kyle work on the show. From the 530, this is towards, I believe, my statement about not feeling good when the Kings were down. I disagree. I felt during the season that we were likely to win with a deficit of 20 at half and likely to lose if we were leading by 20 at half. Felt like opposite world, and I watched every single game start to finish. Yeah, 5-3-0, just name the comebacks, right? You might have felt more confident if they were down, but that's just due to, I think, not feeling confident when they were up. Ultimately, I don't know how confident we felt either way, to be completely honest with you, but off the top of my head, I don't remember, okay, they're down 20, but just one good quarter here. And I'm sure I'm underselling it. There were 82 games. I'm sure they came back.
I think there was
from
a Nuggets one somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure they came back from down 20 a handful of times.
There was that one game against the Lakers where they were down like 18.
That's
and
true.
Were up 20
that was
at
later
halftime.
In the season. That was later in the season. There's that one. There's the Warriors one that I talked about.
There was
a
Timberwolves game where Malik went crazy and it went to overtime, I think. They came back from double digits in that game.
There you go. There you go.
It's like 4 or 5, I think.
Yeah. Ultimately, you ask 10 people, you're going to get 10 different thoughts. I'm sure they did come back from a couple, but maybe it's just because it was the Pelicans. And they were never down that far. It was, Chris, it really, to me, that game was, besides the threes, they did it in a different way with Larry Nance Jr., but scoring-wise, it was the same as the last game we saw against the Pelicans, where there wasn't a blowout. They were within 5 to 9 points, maybe every now and then they'd get within 3, and then they'd trick off a possession, they would miss a big 3, they would turn the ball over, and they could not get over the hump, and then ultimately the Pelicans ran away with it. They ran away with it more last game than they did in in the fifth game against the Kings.
Yeah.
But it felt like that.
I feel like it was completely different. Like, this one was a low-scoring game. Like, in the last game they played, the Pelicans could not miss a shot. Mm-hmm. And this one...
But the Kings also shot better.
The Kings definitely shot better in the last... And that's... I just feel like in this game, the Kings shot better?
It felt like they shot better in game the fifth game.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I felt like this game was just a struggle for the Kings offensively. Like, mm-hmm. I think defensively, they did enough to win. And funny enough, I feel like we said that at the end of the last Pelicans game, even though the Pelicans scored a crazy more amount, is that the Kings played good defense. It's just the Pelicans were nonstop making shots. Mm-hmm. This game, the Kings played really, really good defense. The Pelicans actually missed a ton of shots as well. Again, like, CJ finishes with 7 points on 8 shots. Jose Alvarado only hit 1 3. Jonas Valanciunas definitely did work, but he only shot 50% from the field. Brandon Ingram shot 50%. Like, they missed their shots. It's just nobody on the Kings side could hit anything. I mean, De'Aaron especially in that second half. I think De'Aaron started to kind of feel like, I don't think anybody has it going today. And Keegan with his pulled groin, like, I don't know how much you can really rely on him offensively. He was 1 of 10 from three in that second half. He finished 4 of 16 from the game. Like, it was just, to me, a struggle offensively. They shot 40% as a team from the field. I just felt like the shots let them down. The fact that they could not make threes just ultimately killed them, which is crazy because this team is meant to win on the offensive end. And the fact that they provided enough defense in my mind to win, it's weird. It's you know, it in a weird way, it is how the season would go. We saw that this team looked completely different when they couldn't hit shots, but mm-hmm. the difference was usually when they couldn't make shots, the defense slipped. This time the defense didn't slip. They just never, ever, ever started to make their shots.
But to me, Chris, and I'm look, we know it was De'Aaron, Sabonis, and hopefully you get something from Keegan. Keegan ends up getting injured. We understand that. But to me, and I posted about this during the game, I'm not saying that you're saying it's just a random cold night. I'm not saying you're saying that. But to me, I just think it's everything that we're saying. We know it is well documented that role players play better at home.
Sure.
Keon, Davion, Trey Lyles, they were all juiced up while at home taking on the Warriors. And the question was, we had seen them. The thing that I was hoping for, I was just hoping for an OKC or Knicks type start. And now that you have that cushion, when the Pelicans make their run, you've learned from, similar to what happened with the Warriors, right? Sure. They just didn't get hot ever. And yeah. Keon Ellis, I think he had one shot at halftime.
He had none, I believe.
He couldn't get loose, or he couldn't get it going. And Davion Mitchell actually played pretty poorly in the first half.
Yeah.
I know it's probably unfair because it's just the first quarter, but he comes in, he takes a heat check three. I understand he's trying to, hey, I'm just going to power through and show that I'm not scared. Takes a heat check three. He turns the ball over. He gets cooked by Alvarado for an and one. That was terrible.
Yeah, you can't have that.
And to me, it's not about, oh, they just happen to miss shots. I think ultimately they're role players, right? Maybe you get hot. You got hot at home, but you travel to New Orleans, even though it's not the most hostile environment. And the lights were just too bright for everybody besides the duo. That's it to me.
So when you say the lights too bright, you mean they wilted under pressure.
I think palms got sweaty. I don't think they just happened to go cold in New Orleans. I think that it was a lot of pressure.
But they just played with a lot of pressure against the Warriors.
I think it's different at home.
It could be. I mean, I think ultimately, I mean, the thing is, we have seen them miss a ton of shots multiple times this season. This was not a new occurrence.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that it's weirdly in this team. Like, I just think the inconsistencies from beyond the three have been there all season long. Right. I don't know really what it's about because, again, this team is supposed to be a good 3-point shooting team. Keon Ellis has been a 40% 3-point shooter all year long. To go 0 of 4 from 3, I don't know if that's lights being too bright or just not the ball not finding his way, or maybe it's New Orleans saying Keegan and Keon were the two reasons why they beat Golden State.
Right.
We can't have that. We'll let De'Aaron Fox score 35. We'll let Sabonis do his thing, but If Keegan doesn't get 20, they probably don't win. If Keon doesn't get reach double figures, they're probably not going to win. So how much of it, too, was New Orleans game planning and saying, we'll let anybody else cook, but we're not going to let those guys go off, which is, you know, on the New Orleans side, it's smart. Like, you do have to give them credit for their part in this as well. The Kings definitely played their part, no doubt about it. I mean, I think even even in the first half when Keegan didn't have a pulled groin, I don't know exactly. I know he had that weird fall where he turned it over and couldn't really get up. I assume that's what happened. But even then, first half, Keegan was 1 of 8, 1 of 6 from the field. I don't know what they're supposed to do with that. Like, Keegan had just had a 32-point game, and I know he got hurt, but 1 of 8, 1 of 6, they can't have that. They couldn't afford it with Malik being out and with Kevin being out. So, you know, I just don't know where I fall on the shots just not falling, which is something we've seen all year, versus the pressure was too much. And they couldn't get it done because of that.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, we'll never know. Yeah. Well, all we know is that the ball did not go in the hoop, and they are at home now. And looking at that bench, Chris, I mean, it was apparent. You're running out Sasha Vazankov,
that was desperation.
Trey Lyles, to me, I don't know where he went. Mm-mm. these last couple games. You would have everything that you didn't get one thing that you needed. You didn't get one thing besides the built-in Sabonis and De'Aaron.
Yep.
If you get one of these things and play good defense, you'll have a shot. And they got none of them. They got nothing from Keegan. They got nothing from Keon. They got nothing from Davion. They got nothing from Trey Lyles. They got nothing from anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone. When we return, continue the conversation, opening up the phone lines, 916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. And we may have the live presser, De'Aaron Fox Sabonis. If we don't have it live, we will have it at some point during the show. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's Stiles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Shout out to the call line, text line, and the Sack Chat. Amid Rock on the Sack Chat, I already forgot about the game. Yeah, Chris and I were talking. It literally feels like the last show we did was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was a long weekend.
It was a very long weekend.
That was a long
much needed
weekend.
Very long.
916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. 925 from the text line says, on the road, elimination game against an opponent you couldn't beat all year. They definitely got tight. That's I think multiple things can be true. They played well. The Pelicans did. They got length. They're all over you, man. It was a great game. That was the best game of the weekend, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Thunder Pelicans. And, yeah, you're only going to get a couple open shots. And if you don't hit them and get your confidence high, I think the only way, and I was telling Chris this during the break, the only way the Kings were going to win that game was to get off to a hot start like they did. Or maybe I already said this on the air. Hot start like they did in New York or in OKC towards the end of the season, but holding on to that lead, and that's what you have to do as the away team. You either got to hang around or you got to hit him in the mouth early, and they did neither. Let's hear from Raj, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Raj? What you got for us?
Hey, guys. Couldn't agree with you guys more with everything you're saying, and my thought is a couple things. Like, when their best player on their team had a fourth foul already, I just didn't understand why Kings, you know, always relies merely on three-point shooting. You know, I don't know if that's a coaching situation or players recognizing that. These are professionals. I would imagine they do. You know, you put Brandon on Ingram on a fifth foul by just attacking him. Let's be honest. You attack him a couple of times. You know, you're not going to maybe get every call, but you're probably going to get one. He gets that fifth, it changes the whole game. It changes the entire game. I mean, to me, it's like 101. So I don't know where the failure was. I love Coach Brown. I think he's a hell of a coach. My only challenge that I'm running into right now, I feel like as a huge Kings fan, is, of course, you know, all our other players besides the two primaries look like, you know, like they didn't know what to do. Like, shots are not falling, so I guess, you know, we're done. it's like, no, dude, this is your last game, possibly. Have the fight in you. Show us the effort. Attack that paint. I get it. You're afraid of the big guy. You may get hurt. But guess what? You lose this game, where are you going to go anyway? Rest up, right? I mean, I really thought, like, this season could have been as downer as it could have been. Like, hey, from third seed, we dropped to ninth. We beat the Pelicans. To be super honest, I feel like we'd have every shot to even knock out OKC. Talk about a fairy tale story we could have had this season, a positive. And after that, whatever happens, happens. But it's like, when our threes are not dropping, or is the coaching staff and the players not recognizing, you're going to have to take it in, A, and B, play much harder defense. As a fan, I just want to see effort.
Yeah.
You know, and then not having that is just concerning. And
thanks.
That's going to change for next season.
Yeah, thanks for
the – I want to hear your guys' thoughts.
Thanks for the call, Raj. I'm looking here, Chris, and, you know, we have this conversation every time the Kings go cold. They shot 26% from three, 11 for 41. We have this conversation every time it happens. So I'm looking here at the box score, because what we've said is this a coaching thing, or is this an ingredients thing, or what is in the fridge thing as far as the players that you have on your roster? So Sabonis, he has 23 points. He did his job. Harrison Barnes, you get 17 points out of him, and he really did steady the ship. So that's 17 points out of a Harrison Barnes. And then I'm going to skip over Keegan Murray and skip over Keon Ellis and go to De'Aaron Fox, who had 35 points. And was it the most efficient 35? No. But, I mean, it is what it is. You got to take over, and that's what De'Aaron Fox was trying to do. When we have these conversations about, okay, let's stop shooting threes, and who are we talking about? Harrison Barnes is the only one outside of De'Aaron Fox on this current roster that has the ability to do that. And I think Harrison Barnes did do that. You know, 17 points. Yeah, anybody would love to have 30 points from their third or fourth option, but that's not the case. So besides Sabonis, Harrison Barnes, and De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray isn't there yet, okay? And Keegan Murray, he doesn't normally get to the cup. De'Aaron Fox joked with him last year about being the worst finisher in the league, okay? And he's improved, but that's not really his game yet. Keon Ellis, that's not his game yet. Keon is not going to get to the cup. Now I'm looking at the bench. Davion Mitchell, yeah, he's gotten to the cup a couple of times. He's a smaller guard. He can finish. But I guess my point is, it's not that I am disagreeing with you, Raj. I just don't know, outside of the guys that we talked about who were doing that, I don't really know who else you could depend on this roster. It was just a cooked roster.
Yeah.
It was just cooked. Because the person you're talking about, Raj, is Malik Monk, who's on the bench.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, I think, first off, I definitely did think the same thing of, you know, Brandon Ingram. Not only Brandon Ingram had four fouls, Jonas Valanciunas had four fouls.
Yeah.
Larry Nance Jr. had four fouls. I didn't understand why they didn't do exactly what Raj said in terms of attacking those guys, because, you know, that's how you change the game. Literally, if Brandon Ingram has five fouls, he's going to play completely different, not only defensively, but offensively as well. But then to your point that you just made, who is going to do it? Harrison Barnes, zero free throw attempts in the second half. Keegan Murray obviously pulled Gorin. He wasn't going to be as aggressive attacking. Zero free throw attempts. Those two guys have to be more aggressive. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it. Keon Ellis. None of these guys are shot creators. They do not create shots for themselves or for others. And to me, that's where this team, even if they bring Malik Monk back, to me, their number one priority this offseason has to be get another creator in this rotation. They cannot afford to have it be De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk create everything while everybody else stands in the corner and isn't able to create their own shot, with the exception of Keegan's little step back that he's working on, or HB's slow Euro step. They have to have a guy who can frankly take an isolation, cross over a dude, and hit a jumper, or get to the rim, or hit a three. Like, they have to have another guy who can just get buckets, and they don't have that guy. And so when they don't, it's all on De'Aaron Fox to have the ball in his hands. And you see De'Aaron just chucking it up in that second half. It's because nobody else was being aggressive. There were a couple different possessions. There was one that I'm thinking of that had Keegan, and again, you have to give him a little bit of grace because he pulled his groin. But there was one where Trey Lyles had Jose Alvarado on him in the corner.
Dude.
And he passed out of it.
That was crazy.
And that's inexcusable. You cannot have that.
That
if
was
you
awful.
Have a dude who's 5'10", 5'11", he's 6 feet. Whatever. We'll give him the grace of being 6 feet tall. Trey Lyles is 6'9". He's a shooter at the very least. You can shoot over him from that corner three, shortest shot in the NBA or shortest three in the NBA. Or post his ass up.
But then he got in there and then kicked it and then tried
crazy.
To shovel it
it's
to Keegan. And I was it a turnover or a missed shot?
I think it was a turnover.
It
and
was
it's
brutal.
Like, bro, that's an ISO. That is it. And that's where it's like, you know, whatever. Maybe you can say Mike Brown has to shout out from the sideline. ISO or Mickey as they like to say. You know, there is the worst defender. We like this matchup. I don't think Mike Brown should have to tell Trey Lyles, hey, there's a tiny dude on you. Do something about it.
But that's what I talked about. And I picked Trey Lyles as my dog
on
Friday.
I know, yeah.
And then when I saw that, I said, roof, roof, that's a mouse, not a dog. I wanted to take it back. But Chris, that's what I was what I was telling you about. When you go into he wasn't even that ferocious.
No,
when you
really
go into the playoffs, you need multiple guys that are versatile.
Yes.
And Trey Lyles, to me, I joked with you. I said, how many 2-point field goals has Trey Lyles even taken?
Right.
He is a 3-point shooter.
Right.
If you don't have a deep enough post bag to make a move on Jose Alvarado and at the very least make him foul you, you shouldn't beat the Pelicans.
No.
If that's the second guy off the bench for you or the first guy off the bench for you, as far as the big dudes, you're not going to win that game. And with that mentality, no, they weren't going to OKC. They just weren't going to. 916-339-1140. Let's get to Ron. Wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Ron? What you got for us?
Hey, what's up? I got two things, and I'll be quick. If they let Malik Monk go, because he's that third guy you're looking for, he doesn't care if you're 6'10 or 7'9". He's going at you. He'll make the bucket. He'll do the blocking. He'll be good defense. And the second thing is, God help me for saying it, if these guys can't hit free throws, they don't belong in the NBA. And they lose more games by 2 or 3 or 5 points than the other team in the league. Free throws.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Thanks for the call, Ron. And that also goes to your point, Chris. Because here's the thing. We said De'Aaron had 35 and Sabonis had 23. And Sabonis, 5 for 5 from free throw, right? So Sabonis has been – we should do post-All-Star Sabonis free throw. I'm sure it was very close to 80s. Sabonis was very good from free throw after the All-Star. But De'Aaron, he's 7-for-11. He missed a couple consecutively.
Yes, him and HB missed 2 – free throw trips
back to back, and I'm wondering. Okay, cool. Yeah, De'Aaron had 35. We get it. Wasn't the most efficient 35. We get it. Other players, you weren't getting anything from him. But to that point, when you see Ingram with 4, when you see Valanciunas with 4, is that on De'Aaron instead of chucking him up? We're not saying to not shoot because we understand that you got the juice and nobody else does.
That's right.
But maybe it's getting to the free throw line.
Yeah.
And I hate to do it, Chris. I'm sitting there and I hate to do this, but I'm sitting there and I'm watching Shai Gilgeous last night and I'm thinking, we saw it. I don't even have to do that game.
No,
we saw, and I know he traveled and Mike Brown's probably still talking about it somewhere. He might bring it up in the end of the season press conference today, but You have a guy who is not afraid to get to the line when it matters most.
Yep.
And I don't think – I'm not calling De'Aaron Fox scared, but I'm saying he would probably prefer to not go to the line,
absolutely,
which then results in him being Chuck Master Flex and the ball not going in the basket. That's just what it is. All right.
Absolutely.
Continuing the conversation, 916-339-1140. If you want to be a part of the conversation, text line, Folsom Lake Honda hotline. All guests and callers, join us from the Folsom Lake Honda. Folsom Lake Honda shop. Sounds like Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
What's the missing piece for the 49ers?
Which names will they add during free agency? Whether it's in-season or off-season, the coverage never stops. Get the latest 49ers news on Sacktown Sports at sacktownsports.com.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
One in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
I'm Ken Korak with your Green and Gold Report, brought to you by Xfinity 10G, the network made for streaming. Well, as the A's continue this final season in Oakland, I think it's important to remember that the Coliseum has been home to some of the greatest names in the game. August 17th, before the A's play the Giants, the A's will honor Jose Canseco, Terry Steinbach, Miguel Tejada, Bill King, Dick Williams, and Eddie Juice from the Philly days as the latest members of the A's Hall of Fame.
Want more speed? Well, Xfinity just increased their internet speeds, and they're faster than ever. It's time to get more out of your internet with faster speeds from Xfinity. Now through June 21st, get 150 megabit Xfinity internet for only $19.99 a month for 12 months with 1 year contract. That's double the speed for the same great price. Click, call, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Equipment, taxes, and other charges extra. After promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
At Ashton & Price, we get injury victims to yes. Experience, yes. Ashton & Price has been around for over 25 years. No more insurance companies? Yes. Our clients focus on getting better, and we handle all the rest. Results? Yes. We've collected over $100 million for injury victims. No fee until we win? Yes. Our clients pay nothing until we win. Ashton & Price, the best at getting to yes. Remember, for the best advice, don't think twice. Call Ashton & Price.
If you're looking for $500,000 to $1 million or more of affordable term life insurance, we're Term Provider, experts in finding affordable term life insurance for those that may not be in perfect health. Prostate cancer, heart conditions, high cholesterol, or on prescription medications, you may still qualify for $500,000 to $1 million or more of affordable term life insurance. Call Term Provider at 800-337-4168. 800-337-4168.
Lowe's knows pros need the right tools for every job. That's why we sell the largest in-store selection of Klein tools anywhere. Find new items launching exclusively at Lowe's, like the self-leveling laser level for just $159.98. Plus, shop the Connect socket set for just $49.98. Get Klein tools in-store and online today. Because Lowe's knows tools. Lowe's knows pros.
Country in the Park is back May 17th and 18th at Cal Expo with Brantley Gilbert, Dustin Lynch, Jay Cohen, Walker Hayes, and more. Tickets start at just $46. Country in the Park, May 17th and 18th at Cal Expo. For more information, visit CITPFest.com.
Brought to you by Tough Shed, New Dawn Treatment Centers, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers.
At Fasteners, Inc., we believe adding quality power tools to your lineup shouldn't break the bank. That's why we're hosting the biggest Milwaukee tool sale of the year in Sacramento. On top of insane deals on Milwaukee power tools, all Milwaukee pack-out storage boxes, hand tools, and tool accessories will be 25% off. So come on down on April 27th to the Milwaukee Tool Sanity Sale at Fasteners, Inc. Tool Outlet on Power End Road in Sacramento. For more info, visit fastenersinc.net.
When you take the time to shop at Folsom Lake Honda, there's one thing you'll always find. Happy people, ready to serve you. As a family-owned and operated dealership since 2009, customer service is our number one priority. Our customers love doing business with us, and you will too.
Looking to own or lease? During the spring sales event, drive a brand new Accord or Civic. Visit us today at FolsomLakeHonda.com, your one-stop Honda shop.
Folsom Lake Honda.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Stiles and Watkins on Sactown Sports.
Okay.
Trying to get the
countless games of
audio and
lead, or
here we are.
Games we should have won, and you look back at that, and it definitely bit us in the back. Coming towards the end of the season.
Darren, for you, how much is just your confidence in the direction and kind of the construction of this group shaken by having a step back this year?
I mean, I think we were in positions to, have a better record. 46 wins is not bad, but at the end of the day, you see where this conference is going. You look back at games that we should have won, and you're looking like, oh, we could have had 51 wins or 52 wins, and you're sitting in a different spot. But at the end of the day, we didn't. We know that we could have been a better team this year, and we let some games slip away. But I mean, we're looking at 46 wins, and you're like, oh, it's a bad season. And if we do consider that a bad season, then we know that we have to be much better. But as a team, we know that we have to be better. We have to build differently. And I mean, that's not for me to do. That's for
trying to get the audio situated. I know YouTubers were able to hear it, but the radio listeners were not. So Kyle is working hard. Yeah, Chris, and we heard a piece of that.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox saying that, 46 wins isn't bad.
Right.
It's a weird situation. It's not, but we'll talk more about this later, because the problem isn't the 46 wins. The problem is
the exit.
The West.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, the way it ended, not even the Pelicans, but that stretch, even without Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter, to land you in the 9 seed. I mean, if you look back, I know, and it speaks to how important Malik Monk is, but it also speaks to how broken this roster is. Because to your point before the break, you can't just have two guys, and if one dude goes down, you're cooked. This.
Right.
Pelicans are winning without Brandon Ingram,
yep.
And they won without Zion. And both of those guys, in a vacuum, are better than Malik Monk, right? So if you're not more important, but I think that's part of the problem.
Right.
He's too important.
Right. Absolutely.
Too important.
Absolutely. No, I think that's the perfect way of saying it. Like, I mean, I think the fact that, could you imagine if the Kings didn't have Sabonis during this stretch or didn't have Deer? Like, it would be over. And, in today's, maybe that's good enough for 5-10 years ago, as crazy as it is. But with how the league is currently situated, and we saw last year a lot of people saying the Kings got lucky that the West was as unhealthy as it was. But, there's a bit of truth to that, because you see how just talent-filled this conference is. I mean, the OKC, offensively it's a lot of SGA and Jalen Williams. They still got Chet. They got Lou Dort. They got other Jalen Williams. They've got Josh. They have a ton of other pieces that you can get excited about that can step up if their main guys don't have it. There's, of course, the Clippers. We can go on and on of the list of teams that have tons of talent. I talk about guys like Norm Powell all the time on a team like the Clippers. Who is the Kings version of Norm Powell besides Malik Monk? I mean, and to your point, like, does that mean that there's just way too much importance on one or three guys to do just about everything? If we need De'Aaron and Malik to create everything, we need Sabonis to get all the rebounds and get all the assists, and still have a physical presence in the paint and rim protect. Like, okay, like that's a lot for three guys. And then when one of them goes down, you see what happens is, you can't just replace a guy like Malik Monk. You definitely can't replace a guy like Domantas Sabonis. They can maybe replace Keegan or HB for a short period of time, but I just think that they rely too much on the guys that are getting time, and they don't have enough of a war chest of talent.
It's bad. Yeah. I mean, if you honestly think about it, the rotation pieces are bad.
Yeah.
They're not good, and Bill Simmons was right when he said that the Kings, without Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter, have the worst 3-9 out of the top 10 Western Conference teams. Chris, the Clippers just won with no Kawhi.
None.
And they beat a team that the Kings could not beat back to back. That's when they lost Malik Monk, but they lost him in the second game.
Yes.
Not the first. Yeah. And they beat the brakes off the Mavericks.
Malik had zero, I believe, in that game.
Yeah. They beat
he played the full game.
Right. They beat the brakes off the Mavericks. And I'm looking here, they have so many pieces, the Clippers do, little prop talk action.
Yeah.
Norman Powell didn't even have to do anything because they also have a Terrence Mann.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of talent that these teams have. And then, yeah, you look at the Kings stretching for, are we going to see Chris Duarte? Are we going to see Kessler Edwards? And I know those guys didn't
those
end
guys
up playing.
Wouldn't see the light of
no,
day
no,
on
they
any
even be
of the top eight teams.
Wouldn't even be considered, 100%. And, you know, I think it was a bit of searching for Mike to go to Sasha. I think that's how down bad they were in that Pelicans game, that he was like, you know what? We're not nobody. Nobody is making anything. Keegan goes down. I know we haven't gone to him a lot, but we just need somebody who I think can hit shots. And Sasha comes in and ultimately doesn't make much of an impact, kind of gets killed on the defensive end. But to me, that's a sign that this team just didn't have enough. They at some point, and you could say, you know, you hurt, you get two of your really big contributors hurt. Anybody's going to look like that. But to me, the fall off was just so dramatic that they were barely keeping their heads above water. And it felt like in every single one of these games down the stretch, at some point, something eventually drowned them. They were able to stick with it, fight, stay competitive. But when it came to what's going to be the thing that sets this team over the hump in this game to get the win, they just never had it. They very, very rarely found it. And unless it was a Golden State game where they just kind of were incredibly hot from three, it just usually didn't look pretty without Malik Monk, or especially without Kevin Huerter out there as well.
No, and I was really surprised that Coach Mike Brown didn't go to Kessler Edwards, just because he was a guy, he can do some things defensively.
He's length,
he's made threes randomly when the Kings have needed shots. Yep. So I was really surprised there was no Kessler Edwards in that game where Keegan clearly wasn't himself. They were going to give him open shots. So I was incredibly surprised. Would it have made a difference? I have no clue, and we won't know. You know, Kessler Edwards came in against the Wizards and balled out, and it didn't make a difference. So I think that he was searching, but at that point, it's just hard for me, and I know we had a caller earlier. If we could have just got to the Thunder, you never know. Sure, you never know, and I know that the Kings got that big lead against the Thunder. Let's also remember that the Thunder didn't play that well in that game. They came back from that deficit, and they ultimately won.
Yeah.
So I would rather have the conversation, man, I wish the Kings would have showed up to get back to the playoffs and to enjoy a playoff run, and you never know what could have happened, than forming it as if the Kings actually had a shot. I mean, honestly, if you look at who the Thunder are bringing off the bench compared to the Kings, everybody is doing this against the Thunder because they're inexperienced and things like that. But ultimately, you can't be as hot and cold as the Kings were and expect to beat a team like that. And I said something to you, Chris, last week about, okay, where would you put hostile environments? OKC was rocking.
Tried to tell you.
OKC was rocking, all right? So if you were good enough, you would have taken care of business, because New Orleans, I know Dave said it was loud in there, but it would have been nothing, I don't think, compared to OKC or anywhere else, really. That was the best option for you to get through to the playoffs, and you weren't able to get it done. Got more when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.